love, your time with us and for us. Lord, as you guide us along this path, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, you reach down and pick us up, dust us off. Thank you, Father. When you forgive our missteps, Lord, when we ask for forgiveness, you're a loving God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we find pleasure and excitement in serving you. Lord, we look with great anticipation and expectations of what's planned because we know it's good. Amen. It is good. Bless this time again, Lord. It is your time with us. We look forward to it. Yes, we do, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at Romans 8. Free from sin from within. And that's encouraging. Free from the sin. Well, how can I have sin within? I'm a child of God. Well, we've been set free of sin, but we find that it still tantalizes us. It still sometimes nips at our heel. It still sometimes the old devil likes to try to regurgitate stuff in our past. You name it. He's just a bad character. But we got to know that we know that we are loved. We've been forgiven. And we walk through this with God's help. So we're going to look at Romans 8. Now, we'll start, we're going to go through this chapter. I want to just kind of launch into it, and let's just see where the Lord leads us up to a point. And we may take it up again a little bit later next week. But let's look at this, because I think this is important. Free from indwelling sin. You know, we've been on this path, right, of all the things of what... I threw my notes away there, where we've been with the within the Romans here, 6, 7, and 8. We find that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. As we launch into that and we think about that, if you were being tried, and at the conclusion of the trial in this life, you would possibly be sent to death, and your destiny was held in the hands of the judge. And but you heard the judge say this, not guilty, let Tim go free. Put your name in there, let go free. If we heard that, not guilty, let them go free, let him go free. The fact is that the entire human race is on death row due to breaking God's law. But thanks that God, he had sent for each of us a way to that freedom that we have. And that being who? Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, we are set free. God has declared us not guilty. And he has offered us freedom from sin, and he gives us his power to do his will. He has given us every tool in the toolbox that we need. We just need to be understanding that we need to open the toolbox. We got to understand, we got to reach in and take those tools that are there and realize they're there for me, and it's not to have a bad life. It's not to put me back where I came from. It's to continue me on this journey with him. It came to mind when I read that, not guilty. You know, he's offered us freedom. We find in John 8:36, what? Therefore, if the Son makes you what? Free. You shall be free indeed. The Son, Jesus Christ, came to set all of us sinners that were held captive. They're sinners today that are being held captive. And we've got to release them by letting them know what God's Word says. We've got to go out and share the good news. We've got to go out and share that you can have the same freedom that I've been bestowed with, because it's free gift to everyone who accepts it and wants it. You know, we think in our times of skirmishes around the globe and people that have been taken and held hostage for days and weeks and months. Some have been held hostage in prisons in faraway lands for years. And it wasn't until something happened and they were released for whatever reason through the workings of man and government deals. But from the very foundation of life and all, there's people out there in the world that are being held hostage. Hostage to the sin. And the devil is doing a good job at keeping him in those areas, thinking that there is what? No way out. This is the way it's going to be. There's no help. You're on your own. Deal with it. But no, we do have that. We also want to look at this, and I'm going to look in Romans 3:21. 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who do what? Believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Verse 24, Romans 3:24. Being justified freely without any cost, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. Redemption is this, a release that is secured by the payment of a ransom, a deliverance, a setting free. How many here have been delivered? How many here have been set free? Amen? The word is a secular Greek described a conqueror releasing a prisoner, a master ransoming a slave, and a redemption from an alien yoke. In the New Testament, it designates that this deliverance through Christ from the evil and that of the penalty of sin, the price paid to purchase that liberation was his shed blood, the redemption. We were redeemed. Amen. So we find that being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We find that in 24 here where it says justified, we have been justified. Justified means you've been declared righteous, a righteous, yes, in God's sight. We have been declared righteous. Before that you weren't. We were the unrighteous. And then further in Scripture, we find out it's not my righteousness, but his righteousness in me. It's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness in you. You've got to get your mind and your heart and everything clicking into this, especially your heart, to know that you're righteous. You're a righteous child of God. Amen? The world, the devil, wants to continue to hold you to that point of you're unrighteous. You're not forgiven. You are of no worth. You are a scoundrel. You are. But it's not what he says, the devil, but it's what he says, my God. And my God says that I'm the righteous with him through his righteousness. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. Propitiation. That's a mercy seat. By his blood. Through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Hallelujah. Verse 26, I think we'll end there. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So here we are. You know, we jump back into chapter 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to your flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's the point that you've got to get into your walk, that you're no longer walk. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit that has come to lead us and guide us, to teach us, to show us the truth, things of that nature. For the law of the Spirit, verse 2, of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That made free, it's to liberate. Anybody felt a liberation when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Was there a load taken off of you? You were liberated. Hallelujah. The enemy was kicked out. Here again, look at the things in natural ways of wars. We go in, and a lot of that back in the days of, like, you know, World War One and Two. But, you know, we went over there, and the world forces got together and were against that of Nazi Germany and things. And eventually, little things happened that many cities and countries were liberated. They were what? Set free under from that of what Hitler wanted to do and control, and he wanted to take over the whole world. He had this master plan. But they were liberated. Well, we in our walk as a child, in the beginning, like, yeah, we were, you know, God put us here, and all of a sudden, but we are serving that of the devil, but we were liberated by that of Jesus. Jesus came, we were redeemed, the blood, and now we've been liberated out of what we were going to be totally of sin and dying and going to hell, that now we've been liberated into a new life, that of what? Eternity with Christ in heaven forever and ever. And so we've been liberated. You've been liberated, hallelujah, to liberate, to acquit. Not guilty. You've been acquitted. You've been set free. You've been delivered. In the New Testament, this word is used exclusively for Jesus' setting believers at liberty from the dominion of sin. Now, how many here know that sin is pretty powerful? It's a powerful force. It'll hold you. What's the old adage? Sin. It'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, things of that nature that you would hear talking about sin and what it'll do. It'll hold on to you, and it'll take you down. It's almost like, you know, the alligators or crocodiles, whatever it is, like they do that death roll. They get a hold of that person or that animal or whatever it is, and they just lock their jaws and they just do the old death roll. They're just, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and I get on a little whirly wheel thing at a fair, I'd get off, I'd be going like, ah. I could only imagine if I was in the jaws of an alligator and I'm going around in circles. It's like, even if he let me go, I would still be laying there because I couldn't even figure out which end was up, you know, but they do that death roll. That's that thing. And that's what a lot of times I think maybe Satan gets that death hold on us, thinking he's going to hold us for our entire life, and he just keeps you down. He keeps you spinning. He keeps you confused. He keeps you disoriented. That's what all that is doing when that animal in nature is doing that thing. It gets the whoever his prey just disoriented of what's going on, and eventually drowns and dies, and he's got a meal. Well, that's what Satan is doing to people. He's waiting you die. He's got a meal, taking you to hell. But Jesus has come, and he has broken that. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. When we look at these things here, in the beginning of chapter 1, or chapter 8, the first about 11 verses, we find out that Paul is describing that of life in the Spirit. He first declares that the Spirit assures us victory and then makes holiness possible. Now, if you were going to go to battle in the natural, and you were assured, and you're going against somebody that might be twice your size, but you were assured that you're going to beat that guy, or you're going to be able to, you know, come out victorious, and you knew that, beyond a doubt, you would take on that battle. Because I know beyond a doubt, I've been assured, I'm going to win. That's the thing as we look at this, as we look at how we are assured of these things, that the assurance of the Spirit assures us that we will have victory and he will make us holy. It's going to be possible because of God. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the Holy Spirit in all of this too. For the law of the Spirit of life, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free. Okay, we look at that. Now, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the law of this. The law here does not refer to the written law of the moral commands back in the Old Testament, but in a system of operation that the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, comes out in our lives, breaking the dominion of the law or the principle of sin and death. Being merely born, you're into sin. Beautiful baby. Innocent, but there's sin. And the life of Jesus and what he accomplished can make a way for that child as they grow up to break out of that, the law of sin, and break into that of what God has. So the law here does not refer to the written moral commands that God gave in the Old Testament. But it's the operation that the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, carries out in our lives. We have been broken free from the dominion of sin. Remember the chapter here talks in my Bible here, free from indwelling sin. You got to realize that you're free from it. And until you realize it, it'll come and it'll snare you how many times a day? How many times a week? But you got to walk strong. You got to walk close to that of God. You got to walk with the Spirit leading and speaking and talking and encouraging. These are these things that we've got to look at. As we continue on, verse 3, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through that of the flesh, God did by doing what? Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had no sin, but became sin for us, right? On account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. But the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but what? If we're not going to walk according to the flesh, what's your Bible say? According to the Spirit. We change our direction. We change who we listen to. We change who we get our marching orders from. In the sin life that we had, the devil was telling you to march. March! Do this! March! Go there! March! Do this! Take that in! Whatever! Now we march to, and we walk to, we go to a beat of a different drum. I can just hear the victories of that of the saints of the past and all that we come out of. And they're up there and they're saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, come on. Keep on, child of God. Don't let the world get you down. Don't let the enemy come back in and sneak upon you and try to bring you back where they would love to take you back to where you were at before Christ. So we do this. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, what do? Set our minds on the flesh. We set our minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live accordingly to that of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be what? Carnally or fleshly minded is death, enmity to God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul here expects that Christians ordinarily will live according to the Spirit. This involves holiness not only in actions and words, but also in the thoughts that fill our minds each moment through that of the day. Paul divides people into two groups. There's two groups out here. Those that let themselves be controlled by their sinful nature, and those who follow after the Holy Spirit. So there's two groups. If Jesus hadn't offered us a way out, guess what group we'd all be in? The first one, sin. The sinful nature. Because of our following Jesus, we need to keep our focus, our thoughts, our direction, you name it. We need to keep all that on that of following Jesus. We can do this as we continue to look at God's Word, to allow the Holy Spirit to what? Be our guide and our help with what Jesus said, the very thing he said, I must go so that he can come. And that the Holy Spirit is within us by faith. 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 You can win this battle. Keep the faith. Hold on. Hold on. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour is just before. The darkest hour of your battle, if it feels like it's the darkest right now, hold on. Daylight is coming. There's a breakthrough coming. You got to believe it. You got to have faith. God has not given you abundant life to be in misery and pain and losing everything. He's here to give you encouragement. He's here to give you a good life. Now, a good life, knowing eternity in heaven, yes, but I continue to say, even upon this earth that we live, you're not going to win people to Christ if you're a doom and gloom Christian. If you want to bemoan and all your problems as a Christian, you're not going to win people to Christ. You got to be on the other side of that and say, oh, I know this has happened, but I have a Savior. Well, I don't understand why that happened or why I lost that or why this tripped up or why what. I don't understand all of that, but it's not going to move me off of where I am with my God, because I trust and I believe my God is there. Even going through tumultuous times, even going through hurts and pains and sufferings, He's there. As we continue with 7, because the carnal mind, there it is, that fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. That's why in His word later here, within the scripture, it says you got to renew your mind. Your current mind is at enmity with that of God. The mind is controlled. That's where the devil likes to put his thoughts, in your mind. He can get your mind thinking, it'll never shut down. Anybody have a problem with your mind? Just keep going on. And like, I want to turn it off, but it just doesn't turn off. There's like, you try to unplug it. It doesn't even unplug. It's like, what can I do? And that's where you get people that are just totally in excitable, their anxiety, they're stressed, they're running to and fro. And they're not physically running to and fro, but in their mind, they're just a mishmash. It's that death roll. The alligator's got a hold of your mind, and he's just flipping it over and over and over until you give up. And as you think, so will you do. That's why it talks so importantly about renewing your mind. Have the mind of who? Christ. We've got to get rid of the mind of Satan, the mind of this world. And we've got to get the mind of the heavenly kingdom. And once we begin to do that, of course, we need to have our heart replaced. It's a combination setup of things that has to change in you to even when sin does maybe or will for sure come knocking at your door, that with a renewed mind and a changed heart, I can battle that or get through that, because I no longer want to open the door to that or venture back into that realm. I want to continue on with that of God. Then you've got to be able to realize and recognize who's knocking at your door. Who's knocking in your mind? Who's knocking at your heart? You know, isn't it great that we have these phones? And you can, for my family at one time, I put in certain ringtones for just my family. So that if I was somewhere and I heard an off ringtone, I go, man, that's whoever. But if I have a ringtone that comes in that's one of my kids, I'm pulling that out and I'm looking, because it's my family. With the Holy Spirit in us, the Lord will put in, I believe, a certain tone so that you know it's the Holy Spirit calling you, so that you know that it's God from heaven dialing your number, to where you know that I'm going to answer that one because that's God. This other stuff, it could be important, but it's the world's, you know, tone. And I'll get to it when I've got time or when I want to take the time to look at it. That way I can take the time. If it is that of the devil, I don't want to even answer the phone. What do you do now, guys? What do you do? You get on this thing now, it's a great thing. If it's not in my address book, it's silent. I don't have Satan's phone number in my book no more. I've got it to where it's an unknown number. Satan calls. I don't even hear it ring. It just goes, and I can open up my, just like you guys, open up my phone. Oh, let's see what calls I missed. Oh, my gosh, look at all those. Look at all those. Wow, Elkin, North Carolina. Potential spam. Now, there's other family members in here, but I missed them, and then I just didn't have time to answer. But it's amazing, Albie. Oh, I got all this stuff. So we've got to do that in our walk with God. You got to hook up and put His number in to where if He's calling, it's coming through and I'm going to answer it. If it's the world or the devil, it's going to go into my own little file and I will open it up and go, oh, okay, that's so-and-so, or, you know, that's Janice. I didn't have time to answer. And this, and oh, but who's this one here? Satan. Ah! Delete it and block it. I got a block list in my phone. How many have blocks in your phone? Is it like this long? Scroll, scroll, baby, scroll. My goodness. Junk, delete, get out of here. But it does, you know, over time, it's just amazing. Every once in a while, I'll go into my blocked numbers and stuff, and it's like, I don't know how many pages. It just block, block, block. Does it work? I don't know, but it makes me feel good when I do it. I got the power. I got the power by flipping the switch. I let people I want to call come into my life. We can take control over things in the natural. We got to take control over things in the spiritual, that being against that of the devil and that of God. Hallelujah. Report it as spam, delete it forever. I'm sorry if I'm blocking him too much. He might be calling your numbers because he's going to say, well, I'm not getting through that guy. I'll go down the list of this person, you know. But then you got to be careful. Now this puts me on a trail. Because you'll look at a number and it's like, I've had people tell me that I've had a phone call coming in and I look at it and it's myself calling myself. How they ghost numbers. I don't understand all that stuff. It's beyond me. But it could fake you out. You know, you might answer it and it's not really who you think. So you got to be so wise. So wise. But if you ultimately answered by mistake, what do? Quickly get it down and turn it off, you know, delete it. When sin comes, what do you got to do? Run from it. Don't let it get a hold of you. Nip it, nip it, nip it. I'm not even going to say where that comes from. See, just in familiarity with things, you know. Hallelujah. But you got to take control. You have got to, other than giving yourself fully over to that of God, but you're still, you have got to control your, because God has not got a shock collar on you. And when you misstep something he doesn't like, he's not going, boom, gotcha, boom, boom, boom. No, no, no. He says, you're a child of mine, but you still, in the flesh, in this world, you still have a free will. You can have the free will. So we have that free will that we've got to guard ourselves and watch these things that the enemy wants to come back in. And eventually, I believe, eventually, the enemy will slowly not bother you as much as it was in the beginning of your walk. I might be wrong in that. I don't know. But I know this, that whatever he wants to do, if I can shout a praise of God, I know that just burns his ears. And if I burn his ears long enough, he's probably not going to say, I'm not even going to go to that character because I don't want to have my ears burned. Because he's going to shout praises. He's going to praise God. Or he's going to say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. Oh, no, the devil doesn't want to hear that. But we have got to take that guard upon ourselves and use the word of God that he's given us and be aware when he's got these things in here that he's giving us the ammunition to stand. And when all else, to stand and to trust and obey, for there's no other way. Thank you, Lord. I'm free from sin from within. It might hit me, but I'm going to get rid of it. Flush it, flush it, flush it. Therefore, brethren, in 12, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, verse 14, of God, these are what? Sons, now let's put sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. Once, no more bondage, no more bondage, you know, no more shackles. These things have been taken off. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage The Holy Spirit grants us subjective assurances that we are children of God, Abba, the Aramaic word for Father. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of what? Adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness within our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a witnessing within your spirit that I am a child. Do you believe you're a child of God? Yes. How do you know? By the Spirit, by faith, because of my walk, because of receiving Christ as my Lord and Savior, because of asking and wanting the Holy Spirit to indwell and fill me, to lead me and guide me. Oh, hallelujah. I am a child, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. And what? Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That is awesome. Paul is using adoption to illustrate this in our new relationship with God. And I've touched upon this off and on at times in the past. In the culture of the time, back in the Roman times, the adopted person would lose all rights with the family that they were born in. And they would gain all the rights of the legitimate as a that of a legitimate child in their new family. So what it goes to say about that is that in that time frame, even though they were adopted into that family, when it came time, joint heirs, they didn't say, well, you're adopted in. You're not part of really the true family, so you're not going to get any of the inheritance. No. They got the same inheritance of that of the children, if that was the case was going to be. It's going to be split up evenly. Well, you can't do that. They're adopted. They're not really us. No. Adoption is even more powerful. We talk about that with people in today. You know, people... It is hard to believe that, you know, there's whatever circumstances and things that happen that, you know, people or children are put up for adoptions and things. And at first, it surely would dwell upon the child to think like, gosh, I wasn't even wanted. And there's all kinds of circumstances we get into. But I'm just thinking quickly that that child could grow up thinking like, no, but my biological parents didn't want me. But then they're adopted into a family. And to be adopted into that family, it's like you almost want to tell them, you know, you've got something more special than those that are born into a family. Because that family that adopted you, they wanted you. And they took you in. And there's wonderful adoptions out there where people take in children that have abnormalities, birth defects, different things. I mean, there's people that's they just do that because of the love and what they're wanting and to give that child. So to be an adopted child brought into a family, it's like they love you totally. And so as we look at this, that's where now we look at when a person receives Christ into their lives, they gain all the privileges and the responsibilities of a child in God's family. I've been adopted, joint heirs with Jesus. As we travel this sod. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And verse 17 bears listing and saying it again. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus went on to say, what I have, you have. What I've done, you will do. Things of that nature, what the Father is giving me, you have. We have all of these things at our availability. And you got to stand on those things. You got to trust those things by faith. You got to know who you are in that of God. You got to know that you are a child of God. Although sin may come here and there again, put it aside. Don't act upon it. Know who you are. So we get the responsibilities like that of a child in God's family. We may not always feel this, but with the help of the Holy Spirit's inward witness within us, we find encouragement in God's love for us. That's what a lot of the people in the world are missing. That's why the devil does a really good job of getting people to the point, because people don't have love. They don't sense love around them. They don't love themselves. You name it, there's many people, when you talk to them, they're void of love. That's a hard thing to be void of, because everybody wants to be loved, don't you? If you're not loved, it's like a vacuum. Because with not having love, you end up finding that maybe there's not a purpose for my life. I don't even know why I'm here. Why? What's the benefit? God put you here for a divine specific purpose, and he loves you. Jesus died for you. Don't let the enemy keep whispering into your ears the things that want to tear you down again. Amen. And you can fight that off by that of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, for I like the heading on my Bible, starting at the top where 18th is, from suffering to glory. Amen. For I considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Corruption and things like that of decay, bondage of decay. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 22. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. There, let's talk about that faith stuff. Hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one still hope for what it sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience, perseverance, bulldog faith. Talking about bulldogs. You know, boy, that takes us into so many places here. As we look at that, find here that Paul presents the idea that salvation is past, present, and future. And that's where I want to maybe go into next week, because I got past, present, and future things here. We find in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us, okay? The Greek word translated helps is used in Luke 10:40, where Martha wants Mary to come and help her. The word does not indicate that the Holy Spirit prays instead of us, but that the Holy Spirit takes part with us and makes our weak prayers effective. Now, some will interpret the groanings as those uttered by the Holy Spirit, and since the text says that he uses these groanings to make intercession, others can see Paul referring to our groanings in prayer, and we can go into some of that. But that's the importance of the Holy Spirit. When you know not how to pray, when you know not what to pray, get into the leading of the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit come in and begin to pray those things with you or help you or guide you into what. And sometimes you might look at that as even, and it's not necessarily, I think, in that of tongues, because the Holy Spirit, with groanings and things like that, you know, we're groaning like, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, how am I going to pray? I believe there's times that I didn't know how to pray, and the Spirit has come in, and I've been able to pray in my language, in my verbal English, because I disconnected my to say, okay, Lord, give me what to pray. And then you just launch out. Sometimes it could be in tongues, but sometimes a lot is just in your own personal language of just praying. Father, thank you. You know, and we go with that. I want to look at, let's go ahead and turn, you can turn these lights down up here, down. And I want you to go through probably the first 26 verses or so of, we're going to look in the Passion here real quick. And you can read up on the screen if you like, because the words on the Passion are up on the screen for you. And I know you guys can read, right? But here it is, living by the power of the Holy Spirit. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has done what? Liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by what? The weakness of human nature. And yet God sent us His Son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. God's Son, Jesus, gave His body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and the power of sin. God does not like the power of sin. He's squashing it. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living His life where? In us. And we are what? Free to live, not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not no longer I live, but He lives. Those who are motivated by the flesh only do what? Pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. The impulse of the Holy Spirit. Right. For the sense and the reason of the flesh is death, but the mind set controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. Is your mind set upon that? It's a good thing. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to His directions or refuses His law because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, hallelujah, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by what? The Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. It's important. You better join yourself. Now Christ lives His life where? In us, you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Isn't it great to know you are accepted? People out in the world are looking for acceptance. I need, would somebody, just acceptance to me. Accept me. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, He will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes the life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. That is broken, no longer controlled by that of the flesh. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste His abundant life. Now, we're looking at that. That's abundant life, I believe, eternity and things of that nature. But again, I'm a proponent to say there's an abundant life on this earth, guys. You don't live defeated. You don't live like, oh, well, I'm a child of God, and, you know, I take a vow of poverty. No. My God will supply all my needs. I'm going to be richer than I am now. God is my source. Sons and daughters, destined for glory. Ooh, I'm a son. Anybody know? Anybody else? Huh? Okay, verse 14. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses. There's that impulse of the Holy Spirit. And verse 15. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty. Thank God. Amen for that. That'll just hold you down. That's worse than living in the world. Leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of what? Full acceptance. Enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. Amen? For as He rises up within us, our spirits join Him in saying the words of a tender affection, Beloved Father, Abba, Father. Oh, what encouragement in this phraseology, in the Scriptures. 16, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us. What's He do? He whispers into our innermost being. What's He whisper to you? You are God's beloved child, the Spirit. You've got to hear that. You are God's beloved child. And since we are His true children, guess what? We qualify to share all of His treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God Himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that He is and all that He has. We will experience being co-glorified with Him, provided that we accept His sufferings as our own. And in 18, a glorious destiny. I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of the glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe. Remember when you stand on tiptoe? Yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation, me included, longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. We're about ready to be wrapped up here. To this day, we are aware of this universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. I take what I hear from women about the pain and all that. I don't need to endure it. I trust them. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status. Oh, experience full status, amen, as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies, being transformed in that. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait. For wait is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something that we already have? So because our hope is still set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. Patiently. Need prayer for there. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness, to empower us. You're not weak when you got the Holy Spirit. For example, at the times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to supersede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings. Yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. I think that's where we'll stop. Yeah, we'll stop right there and we'll pick up that. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's all to say we are free from sin from within. God has set up the plan for us. God has got the way. All we need to do is follow His plan. Follow His way. Every day. Can we make up a song with that? Follow His way every day. Know that you are victorious. Know that with the Holy Spirit in you, you will and you are succeeding. Not that you will. You are succeeding today. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for the strength, the power, the fornication, whatever it is, Lord, of Your word in our spirits, Lord, to help us on this life journey that we are on here on this earth. But Lord, it's been taken care of for us because we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Lord. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, lead us and guide us and strengthen us. For the Spirit gives us all truth. But Lord, I pray that the people here today, and having those that might listen to this on the website, but Lord, also that, Lord, we know that we can break free from sin. When sin comes, Lord, that we can turn it away. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to accept our past. Lord, let us focus on our future. Let us focus on the plan that You have for us. And Lord, give us the strength when we are weak. For we want to honor You, glorify You. Oh, we love You, and I know You love us. And I pray, Lord, right now, go with us this day. Oh, Father, give us a great day in you. And Lord, bless the mothers. Give them an enriched day today and every day, really. They're more worthy of just one day, but every day, Father. I thank you, Father, for that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.